Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. This week, we're talking self-awareness, what it is and what it means to us. We'll also discuss the results of two personality tests, the benefits of self-awareness, ways to develop it, and probably more.
You know it's going to be more.
It's going to be more. That's how that goes.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Self-awareness. What is it? So you know how I am. I'm going to go to the dictionary first. What I found was that self-awareness refers to the ability of an individual to recognize and understand their thoughts, emotions, and behaviors.
Thoughts, emotions, and behaviors.
It's like a trinity of you.
That's the full Monty right there.
It's like, oh, okay. And when I think my thoughts, when I think my thoughts and the emotions that go into my thoughts, all of those things influence my behaviors.
Oh my God. I was literally about to say the same thing. I've seen this cycle where what you think influences how you feel, which influences your behavior. Which influences outcomes,
and then it just
outcome. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes and goes and goes.
That is awesome. That is so true.
So, what does that mean to you when you think of self-awareness?
For me, self-awareness is variant, and my ability to connect to how I'm feeling and how I might be reacting, processing, or responding.
Yeah.
Is that real or is that my history? Is that my stories talking? Right. So checking myself, I feel this. Why might I feel this? And just being aware of things that are at play. Those are the steps that I take, especially when I'm uncomfortable. If there's an emotion, I'm like, I don't like this. What's happening? I don't like this at all.
Yeah.
What about you?
It's so deep. But when I am most self-aware, I am my most authentic self. And I love when you said the why. Why am I doing this? Why am I reacting this way? Why am I responding this way? And then taking an analysis of your past into your present. So you're not, oh, it's all, I'm living in the past and I'm reacting from the past. Just being aware of yourself in that moment, it'll change everything.
And that's why I think mindfulness, presence is such an important tool, because past and future have no business in this present.
Right.
Feeling, thinking, behaving based in this moment is, I think, the healthiest way to respond.
Yes.
You know, there's no baggage, there's no pressure. It's just, this is how I'm feeling. Noticing, being able to step outside yourself a little bit and notice, you know, be that observer that we've talked about and just be curious about maybe why you're reacting that way.
Right.
And just notice how you're feeling. My God, it's taken me 50 years to notice how I'm feeling about anything. I'll be like, what?
Ooh, there's
what
a feeling.
That?
What's happening?
What is that thing? Yeah. Something is, wow.
Something big is happening.
Yeah. Connecting to your body.
Yeah.
Because that's where our emotions are stored and that's where they play out.
Ooh, where our emotions are stored. Back to the body keeps score.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yep. Our energy body and our physical body have those memories, and that's where we store and process emotion.
It's important because the more self-aware you are, you can recognize how your actions or your emotions, the impact that they can have on other people.
Our self-awareness ripples.
It
can help other people be more self-aware, but it can also help us understand the people around us. For instance, us giving our families the different tests. We're like, do this test because I need to know something about you.
I want to love you better. I want to help you on your journey. So please take this test so I can help us.
Oh, I love that. Help me, help you, help us.
Yes.
Yeah, this is for the common good, for sure.
Most definitely.
Yeah, I think there's some really good tools out there, but also just taking inventory of how you're feeling in any given moment, what's affecting you.
That level of introspection. Oh, how can this be better? Mm. How can I show up better in this moment?
Yeah.
In this environment.
What are other choices that mm-hmm. I might have? Because yeah. we always have a choice. And oftentimes we're just in that loop. We're in that pattern. For me, meditation, hands down, is the way to get quiet and connect to my deeper self and my inner voice. That helps me come back to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But not everybody loves meditation, and I get that.
So it might be journaling or getting out in nature and reconnecting with your friends and loved ones. Yeah. So whatever that is that re-centers you and grounds you, do more of those things.
Yeah. Because when we're self-aware, we notice the things perhaps we're wanting to look at or mm-hmm. work on to be happier in the moment, to be happier in our relationships or our work or our play or whatever it is, our health or fitness.
Dear listeners, that's a task we issue to you. What ways could you become more self-aware?
Mm. Yeah. And what processes, what habits can you put into place to reframe mm-hmm. some of your experiences so that it helps you be stronger, more joyful, more resilient? Reframing is a great tool as well.
So let's talk about the benefits. It improves your interpersonal relationships, your relationship with yourself. Another big benefit is the ability to regulate your emotions. Emotional regulation.
Mm-hmm. I can talk about that all dang day. It's taken me this long. Yeah. Emotional regulation is its own episode.
It's how self-awareness yes. contributes to that. The more in tune with your thoughts, emotions, and behaviors you are, the better equipped you are to handle and respond to stress in healthy ways.
My friends, mm-hmm. truer words were never spoken. I can firsthand relate to that and say that it was exactly because I was not in touch with those things that I would just be so reactive
right.
and off the charts. And
oh
just,
my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Being on the roller coaster. Yeah.
The roller coaster. That you
and
could
I would
never
watch
get
people
on.
Watch me on yeah. the roller coaster. And I'd be like, I don't know.
I can't get off. I won't stop the ride. I just, this is, I'm here. This is where I am. So let's go up.
Yeah. This is just how I live. And now the emotional and thought awareness and reframing has helped me a lot.
You become less swayed by the external factors.
Yes. The more self-aware you yeah. are, the more connected to your deep
like,
self.
Oh,
you're
mm-hmm.
in. And I might have feelings about it, but it's not me and
right.
it can't pull me.
Oh, gosh. The Boy, power we give people when you allow someone or something or a situation to sway you
right.
away from your own emotional regulation.
Right. How can you stand in your power, in your sovereignty, in your self-regulation, self-awareness? What are things you can do to get there and stay there and not let those things take a hold of you? And this, you know, I think one of the gifts for me discovering this and applying it in my own life is I can see when my children are going struggling with that emotional regulation, and I can help them through it, which is a big
yes.
important thing. If that's not something you do naturally, and a lot of us don't,
right.
and you don't have someone modeling, then it's a ride.
Mm-hmm. As we talk about interpersonal relationships and the benefits of being more self-aware, communication comes to mind. When you are more self-aware, you are able to more effectively communicate your needs, wants, desires, and you understand how other people may perceive those things. Karen's on a ride, you guys. Some deep things.
Yeah, I mean, it's like dominoes, right? Self-awareness affects your relationships, your connection with other people, how you see yourself in that relationship, how you express your needs and wants. I mean, expressing your needs and wants and desires, that's all relationship.
You're not expecting the other person involved to be clairvoyant.
Literally saying the words about how you are feeling,
yes.
how you are feeling, not anything about the other person's behavior, mm-hmm. but more like, I feel this when this happens.
I statements are extremely important. The other person may or may not have the same level of self-awareness you do, so they bring their own trauma and their pain to it. And if you use a lot of "you did this" and "you did that," you're belittling that small person inside of them that needs healing. And then they're going to retreat, and then communication immediately breaks down.
And they're either going to retreat or they're going to get defensive. Attack. And either way, that's not a healthy exchange. Yeah. Hmm. Oh, my Lord. Self-awareness affects all things.
All of the things. The other point I wanted to make about the benefits of self-awareness is that self-aware individuals oftentimes make more informed decisions because they consider their own biases, their own emotions, their own thoughts when making choices. And when you're self-aware, you can remove yourself from that situation, from your emotions, and process it more logically.
Yeah, that's key. So we've got the emotional reaction side, mm-hmm. and then the what's really happening. Let me look at this for a second and not be so attached to outcome and so attached to my ownership of
That's that.
And the defensiveness and all of those things that go along with it. Oh, man, that's really good.
So we have expressed benefits of... I'm really excited right now.
You are. Because you're like vibrating over there.
I'm really excited because before we did this episode, Karen and I reconfirmed our personality test results, and we have not shared them with each other. We have thoughts and opinions, but we do not know now. So this is the part where I'm like, oh, I get to find out who she is and what's going on. The two tests that we explored before doing this episode were 16 personalities or the Myers-Briggs test, mm-hmm. and Enneagram. So what do you want to do first? What do you want to find out about me?
Okay. I want to guess your Myers-Briggs of the 16 personality types. I've got them pulled up here and I'm looking. Who am I?
Who do you think I am, Karen?
And I want to explain, too, what these mean, the I and the E.
Yeah, go ahead.
Four different initials. The personality types start with I and E is introvert, extrovert. N and S is an intuitive view of the world, mm-hmm. whereas S is more based on senses and fact. F, feeling mm-hmm. and versus thinking. And I say versus because these are the two ends of the scale, right? Some of us are in
There's
the middle
a mix
of the scale. And then J is judging versus perception. So my guess for you...
If you had to guess.
If I had to guess. Oh, it's the third one that really has me. Okay. So I think you are E-N. I think you might be a T. Are you an E-N-T-J?
This is very, very funny to me because you only got 25% right.
What? No way. Are you joking?
I'm not. This is... Okay, you're right. Are you ready?
Oh my God, I cannot believe that.
So,
oh boy,
there's an I.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You are so out in the world, and you gain so much energy from being around people. I thought.
Meh.
Okay. Meh.
Take them or leave them.
Okay.
But it's only.
That was the one I thought I had right. Like no doubt. I was like, you are definitely
not an E.
Wow. Okay.
You get the E side because you're one of my people.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what I see. That's an important thing to explain. That's you might be a particular type in your most out in the world.
Yeah.
But then in a different comfort zone.
Yeah.
You can display the other. Okay.
She's on the floor, guys.
I can't even.
S.
What? That is not true. Yeah, I guess it could. Maybe it's true. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I could see that's where we differ. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I just gave you one of mine.
There's your 25%. And P. So ISTP. 16 personalities describes it as the virtuoso. Myers-Briggs label is the craftsman or craftswoman. ISTP. I see the problem.
Bold and practical experimenters, masters of all kinds of tools. Wow. Virtuoso.
Yeah, virtuoso.
ISTP.
I'm a Jane of all trades.
That does make sense when you put them all together like that.
Wow. As Karen just, I will share with our listeners. some key characteristics of the ISTP personality. We are compelled to understand how things work, are loyal to our causes and beliefs. We really like to be up and about doing things. Busyness is our standard operating procedure, but rest is equally important as I've become more secure and authentic and self-aware. I don't have to be doing all of the things all of the time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then ISTPs are excellent in crisis situations.
Yeah, you're really good at that. I mean, and better now than probably even the past, right?
All right, lady.
All right, well, I feel like it's not going to be that hard for you because you know all the things.
You're an I person.
I am.
This is where it gets tricky. S.
Okay.
FJ. Where are you?
Well, you got 50%.
Okay.
I tested as an INFP.
You know what? The idealist. That fits.
And in this particular description, they actually call it the healer, which is interesting. I've never seen that before. It says INFPs are imaginative idealists, guided by their own core values and beliefs. Possibilities are paramount, and the reality of the moment is only of passing concern. It's just a little teeny bit of it. They see potential for a better future and pursue truth and meaning with their own flair. That's an interesting take on it. And it's the actual personality. Do you have that handy?
Mediator. Poetic, kind, and altruistic people. Always eager to help a good cause.
That's what it was, the mediator, yeah. And the reason I remember it is because the picture on the Myers-Briggs site.
It's a fairy.
She's a fairy. There's butterflies flying around her, and she's got a little wreath of ivy around her head, holding a flower.
This one?
It's
a hippie.
That's hilarious.
This whole hippie.
That is a spot, just 100%
You are a very
hippie
lady.
I am.
And
I
then am the mnemonic is ideals need faithful pursuit. INFP.
I love that. I am definitely an idealist. And it's funny because when I tested 25 years ago, I was an INFJ.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I was thought that was interesting that that's what switched from J to
I can see that.
Yeah.
You were disconnected.
INFJ, quiet and mystical, inspiring, a tireless idealist. Still idealist.
Okay, so the hippie, the fairy hippie part.
Mm-hmm.
Though not always organized.
Oh, good Lord.
INFPs
almost never.
Are meticulous about things they value.
Oh, that is so spot on. If it's important to me, like a project, if I'm doing
yes.
a project like this, right? Or the book or recording
any
a record,
of the things, yeah.
I'm like, that's what I'm doing. Otherwise, you should see my living room right now because I am in
transition,
high-level creative
things.
Thinking
yeah.
mode, and I'm just like, wow, this place is a mess. Feels like it's what my brain feels like
oh,
inside.
Gosh. Sometimes our outward environment reflects our inner
and
environment.
And vice versa.
Absolutely.
The outward environment affects how we feel.
Ooh, yeah, that's why I need somebody to help me come clean my closet.
I was just like, yeah.
Just, it's gotten out of control.
I know a person.
You do?
I think I do, yeah.
But then I'm also the person that's like, but can you really? Like, where are my things going to be once you clean them up?
Well, you have to be there. You have to be part of the process.
It's the whole thing, which leads us to this Enneagram.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Would you like to venture a guess?
I do want to venture a guess.
I know you do. I love that about you.
So we're talking about your main type.
My main.
Are you a five?
What is five?
The investigator.
It's not me, but I am a good investigator.
Oh, are you an eight?
I am absolutely an eight.
You're an eight. Eight. Which is funny because eight is one of my tri-types, but that's not the main one. But I can totally see that. You're self-confident, assertive, and incredibly resourceful, which is why you tend to attain leadership roles, yes. But you might forget that not everyone is gifted with this level of self-confidence, and you might shut down quieter coworkers or push direct reports too hard.
I do that.
Do you do
I
that?
I do.
Like, your expectations are high.
They're super high, and I'm working on it, y'all. I apologize. I really am working on it.
You're aware of it.
I am
at least,
aware of
right?
it. When I was younger, I thought I wanted to be a teacher until I realized it kind of annoyed me when people did not know the things that I knew.
Oh, and your students are never going to know the things you know.
Because that's my job.
It's your job to show them those things. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I want to be a teacher.
No, you annoy me. I can't believe you don't
know
that.
I just told you 1 + 1 = 2. How did you get 11? I don't understand what is happening.
The biggest patience builder was becoming a mother.
Yeah.
Because I had to teach them everything.
Everything.
All of the things.
I mean, just you know,
like, please feed yourself. This is how you life.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, people don't just come here. Like, I didn't come here knowing all of the things that I know. Right. I had to learn them. So, yeah, I'm working on it, y'all.
That's a good.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, but so many things, that's the point. We may come in or be naturally be a particular type.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, we have, right, there's in Enneagram, there's like the wings, and then there's the tri-types. So there's different things that affect how you operate and how you behave in the world. But your main type, there's so much that you can gain by being challenged by it, right?
Yes.
You can grow the other areas.
To further explain, I'm a type 8 with a strong 7 wing. That is where you see the love to be around people, or practical and decision making, and that's where that side comes out. And it's like, oh, well, that makes sense. I understand myself in relation to that. Like, I knew that was how I approached the world before I knew that I was a type 8. Mm-hmm. And key desires of the type 8 Enneagram type is, you know, self-reliance and the ability to control their situation. Mm-hmm. And the key fears, being harmed, controlled, or manipulated by others.
You're like, ready. You're like, go.
Let's go.
Let's
go. Is this what you want? Is this how you want me to behave? We will square up, earrings off right now, because I will not back down. I'm very scrappy. I'm not a big person, so it's probably going to be a dirty fight. I do not apologize for that.
You're going down at the knees.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. As I dove deeper into the Enneagram types, 8s don't realize how strong and intimidating their energy and presence can be.
To others.
Right.
Yeah.
The older I get, the more I realize and the more I accept that I am a lot. I own it. I know it. It's in my DNA. It's a lot of light coming out.
A lot of light. Not gonna shade it for you.
No. Put your shades on.
Put your shades on. I love that quote. I'm going to repeat the quote. I think I said this already in one of our previous episodes, but the quote that Pete Holmes, stand-up comedian, says, I'm not for everybody.
I'm not
for everybody. It's okay. It's okay. We find our people.
And we just shine in that, in that
gonna,
space.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, lady.
Okay. What do you think?
Okay. I'm leaning towards 4 or 5, but then it's like 2 comes out and I'm like, oh, she's somewhere. She might be 4 or 5 too. I don't, that's not possible, but you know what I mean. So, dear friend, are any of those guesses right? Because I'm given like 4.
Yeah, you're really, really spot on. I used to operate as a 2 in my childhood with the role I felt I had to play. Yeah, but that is not my true type. So my true type is a 4.
The individualists are romantic, is how I was like, this is where I'm leaning.
With a strong 5 wing, and my other 2 types, if I've done my tri-type, are 4, 7, 8. Mm-hmm. And you are 8, 7. Like, I was like, oh, well, that just makes perfect sense.
Yin and yang over here.
The individualist, you're sensitive, introspective, and introverted with a flair for the creative. Gee, really?
I never would have guessed.
Following your passion and developing work that reflects your personal identity are intrinsic motivators that drive you forward 100%. Sometimes this means you quickly feel purposeless and unfulfilled doing work that doesn't speak to you. It's why it's so hard for me to adult.
Sometimes.
You might find it harder to handle situations when you're one in a group, like 1 of 10 engineers on a team. But remember, everyone has a unique opinion and purpose, even in a crowded room. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But yeah. Yeah, I have a little bit of an investigator in me, but for sure, I have the challenger. The challenger and the enthusiast. Because when I'm, when I am feeling good and rested and I'm on and feel purposeful and fulfilled, then I am just a force of nature.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
And these things help us discover a little bit about ourselves. The research questions that they pose helps you find what you value or believe about yourself or the world. This is all to help you
frame your experience.
Yeah, and create an understanding of yourselves and how you relate to the world. And my hope is that it helps you go, oh, like, to have a little more compassion for yourself. You're like, oh, well, that's why, you know, these things happen, or I feel this way, or that's why this personality type, you know, and I don't get along, or triggers, right? And then you can work with it, right?
Yes, the knowledge is the power. Challenges and identifying those things. So yeah. We will definitely include links to the tests we took, and we would love to hear. Is your personality type? Just let us know. We love learning about other people, learning about each other, as we did here just now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I was so far off.
25%. It's not bad. You didn't. It wasn't zero.
That
is a hard F. I'm positive about this.
That is a hard fail.
I'm gonna grade on a curve. You'll be okay.
Oh gosh, that's hilarious. These are helpful tools. Reminds me of the whole the college test. That, like, what color is your parachute book, right? Mm. Like, it reminds me of, like, career counseling and all those things. But they're all useful in perspective for understanding, discovering things about yourself and your personality and how you operate in the world, how you think, how you process information even. And that's impactful and empowering.
It is most definitely empowering. Right,
because
the
once
more
you understand
who you are, the easy it is to relate to other people. And like you said, you know, the challenges or the triggers of different personality types with yours. And we are, as a people, love a good label.
We do.
Help me understand me.
Right.
Like, oh, well, that makes much more sense now. And then it makes you feel not so alone. You're not the only one with this personality type. You're not.
When there's 9 Enneagram or 16 and Myers-Briggs personality types, you're like, oh, well, there's other people in this group.
That are like me.
I'm not alone. We are here. You know, it's good. Like, it's that cry of like, oh, I've got people.
I love it. Yeah. So yeah, share, you guys. Let us know.
We want to know who are, right, the listeners, the community, the people that are drawn to this. Wouldn't that be interesting to see who might resonate with what piece of it? Mm.
That could be like 16 episodes right there. We dive into each of the personality types of Myers-Briggs, and then we dive into the 9 Enneagram types, and we tailor our content. Because once you know who you know how you can relate to each of these other personality types. So watch out. That might come.
Oh, man. That feels really webby.
That was fun.
Yeah. It's so interesting. And there's tons of resources. All of these things, right, that we're talking about, we're saying that, right, getting to a greater understanding of who you are, really, you know, deeply, authentically who you are and how you operate in the world or in your own world, in your imagination, all of these things that make us more aware, I think lead us to the ability to have more compassion and grace for ourselves and in turn others. And to me, that's the biggest, most beautiful outcome is learning about this and understand. It's not like, oh, I wanted to be that type, but I'm this type. It's not like beating yourself up. Exactly. It just, like, helps you understand a little bit more deeply about who you are and how you be, and then that helps you.
Appreciating those characteristics and letting those good things shine.
And leaning into them.
Lean into them.
Yeah.
I'm like, own it. Yep, that's me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Regardless of what story or history or culture or social, you know, influences,
external
family. And
insert
all of that.
Random external factor here.
Yeah, exactly. Or all of them.
Right.
Regardless of all of that, now you have some information. You're like, oh, so I'm going to step up. I'm a leader and I'm going to step up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to
shrink
back anymore. Yeah. Is it time for our dance?
I
want
to dance. Be sure to check out this week's song on our playlist. It is from the movie The Greatest Showman. And the song for this week, as we are talking about self-awareness, is This Is Me. Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify. So good. Mm-hmm. After our song and dance break, we've arrived. This is me. This is you. This is us. Mm-hmm. And we've talked a little bit about our personality types and how self-aware we are.
Getting.
Today's QOTD is, what is your biggest weakness?
Now, what's funny about this to me, this question, is that I immediately have answered.
It's almost as if you know yourself very well.
But it's also how funny, how critical we are of ourselves. We're like, oh, yeah, I'm not good. Or, you know, well, that thing is the thing I need to work on. I find that it's harder for us. Well, I'll speak for myself. Right. It's harder for me to be like, I'm this and this and this, and these are the wonderful things I bring. But if you ask me, what are my weaknesses? I'd be like, mm-hmm.
How much time you get?
Yeah. Just I'm like, how long is this? You want 5, 10, 20? What do you want? If I had to pick one?
Yeah.
Pick your favorite weakness.
Oh, my favorite weakness. Let's see. The one that has really become my friend is my lack of focus.
Hmm.
There's so many things that I love to do and contribute and participate in that, you know, at times it takes me longer to either finish it all or finish one before I start another. There's always lots of things going on. So I think, you know, my organizational abilities in terms of my actual brain when and how I can be hyper-focused and also not focused all over the map.
Right. How do you manage that or mitigate that?
Exactly.
Because it doesn't go away.
I mean, I'm really understanding it and learning it. I try really hard to set distractions away from me, and I dedicate, you know, a specific amount of time to a task, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. I have my calendar, really booked
this
out.
This
is when I'm doing my course. This is when I'm doing this. This is when I'm going to look at my finances, whatever. I have to parse it out and follow it. And it just helps me, you know, check in the boxes, or it keeps me accountable. And it helps me manage my time, really, is what it is. Knowing, like, I only have a half an hour for this. I better damn focus on it, because otherwise I'm not going to get it done. And if it's important enough. Yeah,
okay.
So some of that is external, like, time management and just moving distractions out of the way.
The distractions.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Also promising myself a reward if I do it.
Like, positive reinforcement.
You can have that dark chocolate in 30 minutes.
When you finish this task that you've assigned to yourself.
I'm so food motivated, just like my dog. Well, no wonder. All right, and what about you, my dear?
My goodness.
Is your biggest weakness, would you say?
Being as I am and who I am, my favorite weakness is delegation.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, delegating tasks, any of the things. I'm like, well, why do I need to delegate? Because, one, I'm going to have to take the time to explain what it is that needs to be done.
And it's not going to be done as good as you would do it.
And also, I'm pretty good at doing the thing that I already need to do. So why should I then delegate that task?
Then
I'm just going to do all the things, and then I'm exhausted because I didn't delegate.
That's a big important piece of it, because previous to a divorce, I took so much on that I absolutely could have shared with people.
Right.
I did not have to do it all, and I burned myself
all
just
the way
down
just,
to the quick.
There's
just right
none.
Down
there's
to
a
it.
Shell of a Karen over there. Why? Because she did all the things.
She did all the things. She didn't need to.
But she did it.
She could have delegated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So be very careful, my friend.
My mitigation practice is to actually delegate at least one thing, be it personally or professionally.
All right. Now, is that in a day or a week?
Who knows?
You're just trying just as much as you can when
exactly.
you can.
I like to break the bigger thing down into smaller pieces, because then I'm not as overwhelmed by all of the big things that I have to do.
Please help me do that. Okay.
I'm working on it. I don't know. I just give you my tips and tricks. That's all I got. Delegating one thing, whatever that time frame is if I can get something off my plate, I feel good about that.
Yeah, that's good.
And then also being okay in the fact that whoever I'm delegating said task to doesn't have to do it the same way that I do.
That's hard.
It's one of the most difficult things.
Oh, yeah. There's four other ways to do that. I find that difficult with my children. I'm like, no, this is the... And I have to walk in the other room. I'm like, you can do it.
Don't look at them while you're delegating.
There's other ways to do it.
If you look at them, you're going to try to take it over, and that sets yourself up for the road to burnout. So I'm like, hey, can you do this thing? And then I walk away.
And just walk away. There's more than
if you need help or understanding of what I mean when I say this thing that I've assigned to you, please let me know. Other than that, I'm going to assume you've got it.
Right. Just erasing it off the list.
Mm-hmm. Check. Mm-hmm. Not on my list anymore.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That goes really well together. I love for our listeners to think about this, you know. Don't be too hard on yourselves, but whatever the first thing that pops into your head is like what you consider a weakness, and then look at how can you mitigate that? How can you support yourself to strengthen that skill, you know, or to develop some aspect or some response or some intervention, something.
Intervene on your own behalf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool
and
to
then
think about.
As you're thinking about your weaknesses, don't look at it as a negative thing. Be bold in your weaknesses, you guys. Own them.
I love
accept
that.
Them.
I love that concept because we're always like, it's like we feel guilt or shame or embarrassment, whatever it is. You know, we beat ourselves up. And if you can just lean into the weakness, mm-hmm. right? Like we lean into the other facets of our being, we can just sort of show it some love and be okay with
yeah.
it.
And like you said earlier, when you lean into the whole of your being, you show up better.
And all we want is better.
That's
right?
it.
Just do a little better, be a little better every day, just be more aware. That feels good.
Well, thank you for sharing your weakness.
You're
your favorite
welcome.
Weakness.
It's my favorite.
It's my favorite.
It's the one that's out front leading
yeah.
the line. It's like it's got its little bow tie on and it's holding
gosh.
The door.
Delegating tasks, it's dragging trusting people behind it. Like, come on.
Can't trust them. They don't do it like you.
Yep.
Sit down.
Sit down.
I got this.
Oh,
they've got this.
That's hilarious. I think something really fun is to also look at these parts of our personalities as cartoon characters,
yes.
right? Like imagine them in a little bubble, you know, doing the thing, the stick figures, whatever, however you want to imagine them. It helps us not take ourselves so seriously.
Yes.
Oh,
please.
This is not serious. This is like, it's really meant to be joyful adventure. And I don't say that flippantly. Like I know there's disparities. I do. I know there's disparities in our human experience from all of the angles, you know, financial and opportunistic. And there's so many things we could talk mm-hmm. about. But I also know that every one of us can choose to see the good and positive and lean into that and expect more of it in our lives.
Yeah.
Because when we can envision it, and we expect it to be so. This is it's like an abundant universe. It's a prosperous universe. You know, it's not a punishing,
right,
strict, negative,
right.
lack, scarcity universe.
Abundance.
Look at the trees and
yes.
the flowers in the springtime. It's abundant. It's like, you don't have to do anything. So, like, think about that. Envision
yeah.
that. Feel that. Feel into that.
As you become more self-aware, you'll have more compassion and grace towards yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be a little less hard on yourself. Love yourself a little bit more every day.
Mm. Oh.
And scene.
I was like, there's nothing else to say. That is, and thank you. There's nothing else to take your bow. And that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay. So as we wrap up this episode on self-awareness, you got a quote you want to share?
I do. And I love this quote because it's one of my favorite personal development books. The Untethered Soul by Michael A. Singer. It was really impactful in my life several years ago. And this quote is, in order to be who you are, you must be willing to let go of who you think you are. Get into the heart of
Ooh.
Who you are.
Okay. Yeah.
And that does require some letting go and it requires some trust.
It involves a lot of letting go.
Yeah. What is your fine quote to share?
My fine quote is attributed to the fine Miss Dolly Parton, and it says, find out who you are and do it on purpose.
Do it on purpose and do it
on purpose. Yes.
Oh, Dolly.
Sweet Dolly. We love you.
Dolly, we love you so much.
Oh, all right. So this has been fun.
This has been really fun.
I definitely learned some things about you today.
And
so that makes my soul happy.
I you for sure. Yes.
Yeah. So you guys share your favorite self-awareness quotes. Thank you so much for listening to us today. We really appreciate you taking the time and we're so glad you could join us.
Yeah. Thanks for being here with us, y'all. Take good care. Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.